Under the Stone of Destiny, Chapter 1, Urchins. Naveen of the Morgna changed back from a large raven to her normal shape and sat on the rock watching the waves. It was relaxing and reminded her of Manannan. The child was a few weeks old. A lot had changed in 2,500 years. At least rooks were common near the parents' home, so she could watch his rooks. Her clothes were at least 200 years out of date, despite being a recent fashion in Dalranath. She'd need local clothes, and somewhere to stay next time. She flew back to the portal for Mag Meal. None of the old portals to her mother's court worked. She'd have to make a new one eventually. A few days later, Naveen moved back from the portal to the house. The time slip was seriously bad this time. 7 years already for only a few days away in Mag Meal. Donal would have to visit almost immediately and find out what had happened to the missing father. It was shortly after dawn on Dalranath, with dew on the cobbles, and Barry had just finished setting up his stall when he saw the two street urchins come over and stare at the food. Normally street kids would wait until the market was crowded. Only a couple of other traders had set up, folk like him from outside the city that had arrived the night before. He moved a jar of truffles from near the edge and adjusted the stack of salami-style sausages. "Show me your coin before you even think of touching," insisted Barry. He moved back the cured dried beef that was sold by transparent wafer-thin slice, an expensive item to lose. "Ain't got none," responded Kevin. "Me and my brother is starving."
"You should be in the Dalranath City Institute for the Poor."
Barry was curious, because the dirty clothes with the odd rent were expensive. The taller lad that had spoken looked just like someone he'd seen. The memory seemed evasive, elusive. He was sure a face in the newspaper.
"It's fool," said Kevin. "Anyways, it's like slavery. We'd never leave. I don't want to end buried in their cabbage patch."
"I think you're being unfair. I visited it, and it's not like that. Perhaps, though, you're a bit old for it. You seemed younger at first. Where's your parents anyway?"
"Me mum was a doxy, and 2 days ago someone strangled her."
"I'm Barry McKay," he said. "Just call me Barry. What are your names?"
He thought this was very unlikely, or it would have been mentioned last night in the livery stable. Murder was rare and prime material for gossip. There was something else, he thought. His thoughts seemed fuzzy.
"I'm Kevin, and this here, my younger brother, is Meggles.
"Either your mother was very inadequate, or you've been on the street a lot longer than 2 days. Meggles doesn't much look like you either."
"Maybe we has different dads."
"Meggles?"
What kind of a name was that, he thought, after inadvertently repeating it.
"He don't really talk, Master Barry," explained Kevin. "You know, upset and all."
Barry peered at Meggles. He had his head bowed and a ragged sun hat. He'd bet good coin that the similar height supposedly younger brother was an elf girl, maybe even older than Kevin. Meggles even had an elf-made pack. Both had good quality boots. No regular Dalranath street urchin would be in the company of an elf.
"Would you like some sausage left over from last night?"
He produced it from his bag and cut it in half. He set the parts on the table near the back of his wagon.
"Thanks," said Kevin, and roofed it down.
Meggles just stared at it, just as he expected, as an elf would rather starve than eat meat or dairy.
"Perhaps Meggles would like a stale bread roll left over from my supper last night."
He set it out, and it was snatched and quickly eaten.
The pale, smooth, long, slim fingers had neat manicured nails and showed no evidence of manual labour, elven rather than human hands.
"Thanks," said Kevin.
"It's going to get busy in a short while," he said. "Go and wash in the wagon, and you can help serve. I'm lacking an assistant just at the moment. If you are any good, then I'll give you some lunch." He hoped they were good, because with the war he couldn't get staff.
"What about later?" said Kevin.
"I can count and read, so I can help serve. Meggles can tidy and restock. I guess people are wanting to stock up because of the war. Meggles says the self-styled Ard Dreador, the evil enchanter, is behind the war and not to us at all."
"We'll discuss that when it's later."
He watched them carefully as they washed with his jug, basin and cloth.
"Yes, I too think we and Tuas are being manipulated. You know that Tuas claims it's all Larnian aggression."
"Yes," said Megan. "Kevin. Meggles said that too."
"Meggles," he said, "you sit at the wall on the crate there. You can clear up any rappers and chase any overly bold birds."
As Barry watched, their clothes seemed to shimmer and then were much better quality and condition. Kevin must be able to reject a glamour. Certainly no elf ever had the talent. Meggles was now looking too pale and beautiful to be a toothy boy, and now obviously wasn't shorter than Kevin, perhaps taller. A hat hid the ears and eyebrows. He was nearly certain now who Kevin reminded him of. This was a mystery that would be good in his newspaper column eventually. Meanwhile, he desperately needed some staff. He wondered, was it really his idea to employ them, or Kevin's glamour? He decided it made sense anyway. Kevin spoke politely and properly to the customers, dropping the street accent and the grammar, which had sounded a bit dubious anyway. Perhaps Kevin had run away from somewhere. Maybe there'd be a war award. The silent elf girl was a puzzler. He kept half an eye on Kevin, but he was competent at serving, weighing, reading shopping lists of servants, and counting the coins. Trade was brisk, as he was well known and had a good reputation. Tomorrow he would be back in his own shop in the nearby town of Carrickbawn. Once a week he came for market day, the evening before, to sell his preserves, jams and pickles, cured sausages and salamis, cured dried meats, nuts, dried fungi, truffles and sweetmeats. He began to think maybe he was wrong as Meggles brought out more dried meat products from the wagon. Perhaps just a very strange girl and not an elf at all. They ate lunch as they worked, though Meggles brewed tea for them. Meggles ate little, and again nothing with meat or dairy. Kevin obviously enjoyed his sausage and cheese in a breadstick. It was dusk. Soon the few oil lamps and very few new gas lights in the city would be lit. Quickly they packed up. There were a few people about after dark. In the distance a wolfhound howled, the only kind of domestic dog in the world.
"What now?" said Kevin. "Do you want to come and work for me in Carrickbawn?" said Barry. "I can't get any staff due to the war."
"Maybe if Meggles can come and wants to."
"Meggles can come," he said, "as I'm short of staff. I buy the nuts and fungi from elves. Either of you speak any elvish languages?"
"When do we go?" said Kevin, ignoring the question.
First light," said Barry. "I'll loan you a couple of blankets, and then you can sleep under the wagon. Then the livery stable boy will be here at dawn with the horses."
Barry fervently hoped that Meggles was an elf and could help, as his partner was the only person he knew that could negotiate in elvish and had managed to fall off his horse and break his neck. He'd always been clumsy. The special underground fungus and the choice nuts from the elves was a nice extra bit of profit with no actual extra work. Both were, in theory, seasonal supplies, but they kept well. It would be the season soon enough. Summer was waning. Kevin helped him harness the beasts the next morning. Meggles just watched. Now, another little test, Barry thought.
Would either of you like to ride up front or in the back? Said Barry.
I'd love to sit on the board and watch you drive, said Kevin. I miss my horse. Meggles didn't sleep so well. He'd like to sit down in the back if possible.
Fine, he said.
He resolved to tackle them later about the Meggles fiction when they got home. No Dockland doxy owned a horse either. Either Kevin wasn't running away from anyone likely to see him here, or he'd forgotten to be stealthy. Meggles was obviously the one on the run, which was very odd for an elf. Just outside the city, they passed a huge semaphore tower with several of its signalling units clattering away. Later on the journey, a vast steam-driven road train puffed slowly past. Its eight-wheeled traction engine was wheezing and clanking. They didn't talk on the three-hour journey, though occasionally Barry pointed out a landmark or a wild animal and tried to start a conversation a few times. Kevin obviously wasn't in the mood for conversation. Eventually, as they came near the town gate, Barry said,
Kevin, I can't take you on as an employee without knowing a bit more. What's the truth? You're no doxy's child. You're no street kid either. We'll be at the gate guard soon.
I can't speak for Megan's, said Kevin. Unfortunately, my mother was the pusher kind of doxy. It was rather longer ago than I suggested. Meggles and I have been helping each other out.
No, said Barry, that won't do. There is no posher kind of doxy in the city. No time now. You'll tell me properly at home.
Yes, said Kevin. Everything. I have to talk to my friend.
The guard at the gate recognised Barry, but insisted on his papers anyway.
Who's the boy?
My new apprentice.
Mr. Barry was kind enough to hire me in Dalrynath after a tryout, said Kevin. I'm Kevin Coldrenus of Dalrynath.
I guess that's okay then.
Barry thought Coldrenus had to be a rare family name, or made up like Meggles. The guard didn't ask for Kevin's papers, as Barry's covered an assistant. They passed in and turned off the main street and then into the backyard of Barry's establishment. There was a small meat processing and smoking building, stores and stables with the shop on the main street with accommodation above. Kevin managed the horses and rubbed them down. Meggles helped the assistant unload what was left in the wagon and they backed it into the store.
Right, said Barry. Breakfast and some answers.
Tell him, Kevin, whispered Meggles.
They sat down to breakfast brought by one of the staff, strong tea which Meggles took black, fresh bread, butter and wafer-thin transparent slices of cured beef. Meggles, though, took only jam and bread without butter.
Meggles is Megra, said Kevin, after the worker had left. She's an elf princess. That's why she knows little Larnian. I'm Kevin Colrenus, formerly from Lord Aldara's household. My mother was dead a while ago.
All right, said Barry. That's a bit more believable. You aren't comfortable talking about yourself, then?
No, said Kevin. Maybe in a day or two. Megra says I can tell all about her.
Megra took off her hat and untied her hair. She retied it as a ponytail. With the hat off and hair back, she was clearly an elf. She took off her jacket and pulled out a scarf from under her tunic and sighed. She gave Barry a smile. She was stunningly beautiful. Barry thought she must have been very uncomfortable. Clearly, though, Kevin was a Magus and had been using glamour. So far, though, he hadn't mentioned it.
She doesn't speak much of any Tuatha Dé language, said Kevin. She has run away. They want her to marry someone she doesn't like. She twisted her ankle badly and couldn't walk at all. She thought it was broken. I helped her. She helped me too. Megra is the princess of the High Elven Hulrideni, although she's unused to being referred to as an elf. They are really Lorinacon? Yes, said Barry. For some reason, only we call a Lorinac an elf. Cranachan, the dwarves, literally light and dark people. You know dryads are really Balti?
I never met dwarves, dryads, or elves till recently, said Kevin.
I guess I had a very isolated upbringing. We never visited the parts of the city where the dwarves lived.
The nomadic Glenadril trade with me. Can Megra negotiate with them for me? Asked Barry. Isn't she hiding from them?
Kevin and Megra whispered in each other's ears.
Yes, said Kevin. She can negotiate. The Glenadril are nothing to her. They despise the Hulrideni. They will not tell she is here. If the Hulrideni find out, then Megra will leave or go with them. Either way, there is no trouble for you. But she says even the Hulrideni wouldn't interfere in our realms. I mean, any Tuatha Dé settlement. It's different in the countryside.
Barry thought that was an odd turn of phrase. What did Kevin or Megra mean about the Glenadril being nothing?
What can Megra work at here? Said Barry.
Cleaning. Looking after stock and such, said Kevin. She can't cook or bake yet, but is willing to learn anything.
But not cleaning, the curing sheds, smoking stacks, butchery, said Barry.
She could if she had to, insisted Kevin.
Yes, Megra agreed.
Kevin was pleased that Megra had at least spoken. He knew she wasn't shy. He was still baffled by her lack of knowledge of Larnian, the local Tuatha Dé dialect, even though she'd explained it.
I'm exploited. Perhaps not completely honest, said Barry, but I like to kid myself that I'm not entirely evil. Not cruel. No working with meat or cleaning meat areas. Can you learn to cook and bake? You don't have to eat the produce.
Again, Kevin and Megra whispered.
Megra doesn't understand anything I say?
Very little, admitted Kevin. We kind of figured out how to communicate. She might try learning to cook and bake, but not meat. She prefers raw, but can eat cooked food if there's no meat or dairy in it.
Here's the deal. Accommodation, clothes, and food. I'll consider paying if you have a written offer of paid work elsewhere. Once you're more productive, we will talk about money. But full board and clothes is a good start. I get first refusal for wages.
I guess if we work well, you might consider paying us, said Kevin, or we might move on.
I'm not totally unreasonable, said Barry. Prove your worth and we can negotiate. One or two pallets in your room?
We share a room, said Kevin.
I'm only offering one room because I only have one empty, said Barry. Two pallets then. I'll organise a curtain. One last thing. What do you mean Glenadril mean nothing to Megra?
Megra smiled and gave him a little bow. Barry felt unsettled by the fact he wasn't sure how much she understood. But despite not hating elves, dwarves or dryads, after all there might be profit, he found them unsettling. He didn't like convention or ordinary prejudices to get in the way of running his business.
Kevin and Megra were whispering to each other.
It means the Glenadril are not high elves, explained Kevin. But Megra is now without house, so will not be arrogant with them. She's not actually very arrogant for an elf, never mind a princess or high elf.
Megger went to the bakery's kitchen with Barry and Kevin. There was only Beth, his head baker and pastry cook, now without any staff due to the war. "Beth, this is Megra," said Barry. "Just keep her busy cleaning and washing." "Megra probably doesn't understand much of what we say, but say it anyway, and then show her. Show her simple preparation, baking and cooking she can uncopy, but not the meat kitchen. This is her friend Kevin. He can tell her anything complicated. Get her some more suitable work clothes first. Her outfit is more suited to a travelling look."
"I'm actually Elizabeth," she explained. "However, we're all very informal here. No titles or family names, so just call me Beth. Pleased to meet you both. Certainly we need the extra staff."
Barry left with Kevin. Beth eyed Megra, who was holding her ragged sun hat. She pointed at the dirty pots, pans and plates.
"Wash and dry?"
Megra took off her jacket and overkirtle, cleared some space and filled the basin from the big kettle. Beth went off to get some working clothes, some old ones of her younger sister Kelly might do. As she went up the street to home, she reflected that Barry probably didn't want it broadcast that he was employing an elf. If Kevin could speak Elvish of some sort, why did he need Megra? Though they were always chronically understaffed and overworked, so she'd be able to concentrate on what she was good at while having Egra do all the skiffing. She hoped Megra would do what she was told. The elves had a reputation for arrogance. She'd never heard of one willingly doing menial indoor work, perhaps helping tend an orchard or vineyard, things they cared about. Meanwhile, Barry took Kevin to the office.
"Can you enter bills in a ledger?" said Barry hopefully, not for a moment expecting that Kevin could do basic bookkeeping despite being able to count and write.
"Yes," said Kevin.
Barry sat him at a desk, gave him a pile of bills and a ledger, and watched for a moment. Kevin produced his own penknife to adjust the pen and commenced. Barry watched for a moment. He'd got very much behind. At least he'd dated them and marked on them how much, if anything, was paid. Satisfied that Kevin did understand how to enter, he went to the other desk and started checking yesterday's takings. He made a note on the livery stable's receipt and passed it to Kevin. Later he bagged the coins and took them to his hidden safe in the cellar. Then he got some old workers' clothes for Kevin. "Wash and rest," said Barry. All of the staff met for a quick lunch in the bakery. Barry introduced the new bookkeeper, an odd job boy, and the new scullery maid and skivvy.
"Megra and Kevin will manage our negotiations with the Glenadril," explained Barry. "It's not important who knows about Kevin. It's probably wise, though, to only mention Megra if someone already knows we have an elf. Neither have done anything bad, but have not been able to continue in their previous households for different personal reasons. I know you have all complained of being overworked and that we are understaffed, so do be pleasant to them. The other good news is that I won't be cutting your pay. I expect our productivity will be better now that we have some help." Kevin served in the shop for the rest of the day. For supper, there was only Barry, Kevin and Megra. Kevin wondered why Barry was single. He looked fit, handsome and still in middle age with slightly greying hair. He obviously didn't overindulge in his own goods, beer or wine. Megra and Kevin had prepared the dinner. Barry didn't attempt to make much conversation, but asked a few questions. "How are you managing with Beth, Megra?" said Barry.
He decided that rather than talk around her to Kevin, he should treat her as if she understood everything. Megra and Kevin exchanged glances.
"Fine," said Megra.
It's good that Beth talks to her and doesn't just point, said Kevin, as it means Megra will learn faster. Kevin supposed it would do no harm for Barry to know that he used his limited telepathy to communicate with Megra, but he'd wait till challenged. Bed, urged Barry. We will be up hours before dawn. People want fresh bread before breakfast. We mainly do the specialities. Most of the bread in the shops comes from the big bakery across town. They just do regular loaves and the odd speciality, just as we do a few loaves.
An illusion of competition to keep others from starting bakeries and the town council happy, said Kevin.
I see you understand business and politics, said Barry. Good. Megra cleared and washed, with Kevin drying without being asked. Barry retired to his room and the pair spoke softly in their own languages, really using Kevin's telepathy.
He's very trusting, said Kevin. You were right about picking him. It was a good idea to ask around the day before to find out which stallholder from outside the city had lost assistance.
It's true. He doesn't really know who I am, said Megra. But I'm quite sure he thinks he knows who you are. He has watched carefully and had others watch us. We are cheap and competent. He thinks we have no alternatives. The war means he can't easily find staff either.
He's not far wrong, said Kevin. You can't go back to the Hulradrini unless you are prepared to be a teenage bride to that guy you say you bore. You won't even tell me his name. No other elves will take you in once they discover who you are. You need to be more valuable to Barry than the reward offered. I've not told Barry everything, though I told him part of the truth.
Maybe you shouldn't have been so ready to do the bookkeeping, said Megra. He's bound to wonder how you learnt that.
I did it for your sake. Besides, it doesn't matter if he knows who I am once I've proved I'm a worthwhile worker.
I can take care of myself. This place suits me fine. No one would expect me to be here.
Really? Exclaimed Kevin. You got into a pickle when I met you. You can't speak more than a dozen words of any learning and understand very little more. You aren't sick, so the dryads won't take you in. The dwarves might, but that would be probably worse than suicide. They'd misuse you, or at least that's what you elves believe. Few of the Tuath Dee would help you. We were lucky to find Barry.
It was my idea, after all, for us to approach him early and look for a job, said Megra fiercely. Any amount of abuse is better than suicide, as there's always hope. Besides, probably most of what elves and dwarves say about each other isn't true. It was an accident. I was running and fell down the hillside. At least it meant I lost the pursuit. But I agree that the dwarves and elves have no love for each other. At least I'm learning the local Tuath. You haven't bothered to try and learn any elvish, not even common.
It's amazing you only twisted your ankle and didn't break it, or your pretty neck.
Megra scowled at him and then laughed.
We are done, she said. You need to wash before you come up. You stink. It's probably from what you eat.
Megra took a bowl, cloth, jug of water and towel to wash in their room.
I can't give up meat and dairy, complained Kevin, or I'd be sick. Certainly we need to eat plants and animals we brought with us, and not exclusively local ones.
Nonsense, insisted Megra. See the apothecary, who will know what you need. No one needs to eat meat and dairy.
We aren't the same species. I'm sure there are no vegetarian Tuathdi.
Wash well, all over.
Megra was in bed when Kevin came in. His pallet had blankets and a nightshirt. He put it on.
Will I leave the screen or pull it back? I can hear you well enough, said Megra. I can't imagine
why you can't do the telepathy properly. Put the light out and don't talk. I'm tired and it sounds like an early start. I'm not used to all this physical work, but I'll get used to it. You, however, should only stay till I know a little more Larnian and then go to the MAGA College at Dunraglan.
Kevin suspected an elven princess did very little work at all. In this he was wrong. Though certainly Megra had never washed Sturdy's plates, pots and pans before. At least she admitted that she needed to be better at Larnian. Barry came quietly and listened at the door for a while. There wasn't a sound, so he slipped out quietly to the inn. Barry ordered a small jug of beer.
"Well, Horgan," he inquired as he paid.
The innkeeper leaned over and lowered his voice.
"They say it's going badly," he confided. "The black powder was simply raising the death toll on both sides, so they are all dug into trenches. A stalemate now."
"Not good," agreed Barry. "Did you hear of any scandal about a streetwalker or anyone strangled in Dalrynoth City in the last 6 months?"
"Aye, 4 months ago," said Horrigan. "Not a doxy, though. But the wife or mistress of Lord Aldera was strangled. Some confusion as to what motive or who did it. He said she'd been a doxy, which is nonsense. Later, he claimed she was his mistress, though everyone assumed they were married. That would at least be plausible. There was no evidence against the Lord, but he cast out their son. He claimed that she cheated him, and he wasn't no true son at all. I don't mind his name."
"Kevin?"
"That's the poor fellow. Folks say, like as not, he could be his son. Looks a spit, but there's no law against it."
"Kevin is working for me," said Barry. "I can understand why he hasn't been entirely forthright now. I thought myself he looked quite like Lord Aldera. That's what got my attention. Perhaps he knows little more than he has said."
"You should write and ask the court to be sure, or even use the semaphore."
"Thanks."
Barry took his mug and joined the small group playing cards.
"You want to join?"
Michael the Tanner asked.
"No, I'll just have the company," said Barry. "My luck's been bad, but maybe it's turning."
"You'd not be staying long anyway," said Michael.
"True. Early start."
He'd not waste money riding. Next market day in Dalrynoth City, he'd asked in person. There wasn't any rush.